right. Good morning, everyone. It's about 9 a.m., October 25th. This is the date and time noticed for the meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. I'd like to welcome you all here. The item on the agenda first is public comment. Notice we have some members of the public here. Would you like to comment at this time, or would you like to reserve the time and comment at when we reach a particular agenda item, or are you just monitoring us, Mr. Young?
If I'm the only member of the public here, then I'll speak for the public. And no, I don't have any.
Okay, let the record show that the public appreciates all that we're doing, and okay. The next item on the agenda is to consider withdrawing Rule 861-1A12 on public disclosure. Commissioner Craig, is that your item?
Yes, thank you. All right. You may remember that two commission meetings ago, we adopted an amendment to R861-1A12 dealing with essentially whether our hearings were open or closed and how we would disclose our orders. And at that meeting, Salt Lake County came and asked us if we would make a couple of minor changes to that rule. At our last commission meeting, we submitted to the Division of Administrative Rules a proposed amendment to R861-1A12. With one of the two changes that Salt Lake County asked us to make. So this exercise is going to demonstrate how we are not the legislature, and we can't just change things as we go. We have to actually start the process all over again. What we're proposing to do today is to withdraw the amendment that we sent to the Division of Administrative Rules at our last commission meeting, and that would be the motion that we would vote on at this agenda item. Just to give you a little bit of a preview, at the next agenda item, we will consider sending a new proposed amendment to the Division of Administrative Rules that includes both of the changes that Salt Lake County requested. And just continuing with the preview, if you want to look at that proposed rule, you'll see that on line 26, we've inserted the words or allowed. The words or allowed are also inserted on line 37. And that's what Salt Lake County originally asked us to do. In the proposal that we sent up at our last meeting that we're going to consider withdrawing now, the words or allowed are only on line 37. So we need to withdraw it because it doesn't have it in both places. With that explanation, I'm ready to make a motion because I don't think there's going to be a lot of questions, but I will pause to see.
Are there any questions for Commissioner Cragen?
I would move that we withdraw the previously submitted proposal to amend R861-1A12.
All in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And that appears to be unanimous. Would you like to just jump into item four without further ado?
Okay, so this proposal has both of the changes that Salt Lake County requested us to make. If we approve sending this to the Division of Administrative Rules today, it will be submitted by the 1st of November, so it will be published in the November 15th Utah Register of November 15th, which means the public comment period will continue through December 15th. I think that it is probably unlikely that we will have a commission meeting in December after December 15th, so it's very likely that our first meeting in January of 2013 would be the time when we would consider taking action. We do have a regularly scheduled commission meeting, I believe, on December 13th, but that would be before the public comment period ends. And I don't think that we'll be having a commission meeting on, I think it's December 27th, the week between Christmas and New Year. But we could have a special meeting. The earliest we could do it would be December 22nd, which I believe is a Friday. So, as I say, I think that we would likely take action on this the first meeting in January. If there are no questions, I'm ready to make a motion to send it to DAR.
Any questions?
This is just resubmitting the whole rule again, not just that particular change.
That's correct. The only two changes are the underlined words on lines 26 and 37, adding the words or allowed in those two places. And so that's the amendment that we are submitting for public comment.
So the rule is currently in effect, just without the or, right?
The previous amendment, I guess what I'm getting at, I'm trying to remember, because I'm remembering a different rule number, but the wording is the same. Is this the one I was opposed to previously?
Rule 12 is the one that you had some questions about. We adopted the changes that you had questions about with you in the dissent. And then we sent up the changes that Salt Lake County made, and I believe that you voted with the majority to submit the changes to DAR.
Yep, thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none.
I move that we submit the proposed amendment to R8611A12 to the Division of Administrative Rules for publication in the Utah Register.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number five.
All right. At our commission meeting at the end of August, we submitted a proposed amendment to R8611A46 to the Division of Administrative Rules. It was published in the September 15th Register, and the public comment period continued through, I believe, October 15th. And we actually received received public comment from three different parties, David Crapo, Steve Young, and Joe Knutson, all speaking on behalf of various clients. And I believe, did you, Krista, distribute copies of the public comment to the commissioners? Okay, so you have those letters before you, and generally speaking, all of the people who gave us public comment praised the effort to make the changes to allow to give some direction in how we process. I don't want to call them third-party refunds because we changed it. Purchaser refund requests, but they did have some concerns about some of the time frames, some concerns that the proposal appears to them to be somewhat inflexible, and just concerns about, I believe Mr. Knutson talked about the threshold, the 500 items threshold, as possibly being a little bit too high for allowing random sampling as an option. What I propose that we do is that we not take action on this item today. In fact, it's listed on the agenda as a discussion item, so we can't take action on it. But I wanted to, in a public meeting, to acknowledge that we had received the public comment. I've asked our executive director, Mr. Conover, to organize a meeting with Mr. Crapo, Mr. Young, and Mr. Knudsen, and the Taxpayer Services Division, to review the comments and explore whether or not we can make adjustments to the rule to help resolve the concerns, but still put in place the guidelines that the Property Tax Division desires.
Taxpayer Services Division.
Did I keep saying Property Tax Division? I meant to say Taxpayer Services Division.
We can never satisfy the property tax division.
That's true.
I mean, that would
we'll get
true.
To them in a minute. And so I understand that Mr. Conover's going to work on putting that together sometime in the next week or so. Again, just giving a preview, unless we decide that we're going to adopt this rule as it is, it will just automatically expire without any action from us on the 13th of January 2013. We do have the option of at another public meeting putting it on the agenda. We could vote to withdraw it. We could vote to adopt it. We could vote to specifically affirmatively reject it, or we could just let it expire on January 13th, 2013 without any action. I'm presuming that between now and the first commission meeting in December, that the parties will be able to work together and come up with a new proposal that we would bring in and then vote on sending to DAR. That would open a public comment period, I'm guessing January 1st through February 1st. And so in our first commission meeting in February, optimistically, we might actually be able to get this resolved. I have mentioned to the folks who have commented and to the Taxpayer Services Division that if this working group led by Mr. Conover can't come up with a proposal that is acceptable to everybody, that I and up to one other commissioner would be happy to sit down with all of the interested parties and receive their input, and then the commission would craft its own proposed rule. I'm guessing that it's the sort of thing that both parties would likely have some problems with, which is probably a good rule. And then we could put that forward as our proposal. So just being optimistic at the outset, I think that the division and the commenting parties will be able to give us a good suggestion for how to improve this, and we can get the ball rolling in December and possibly have something in place early February.
Questions for Commissioner Cragen? Okay, well, I'm optimistic that the division and the interested parties will be able to craft something, because I don't, my understanding is that we're not really attempting to tighten anything or make anything more difficult. It's just more a question of having established procedures so everybody knows what the ground rules are and everybody gets treated fairly, and we're not faced with a situation where we have protective RICA fund claims out there for literally years with information dribbling in from time to time. So I suspect all of the parties are will be able to craft something that's mutually acceptable, and that this is exactly what the public notice period is intended to do. So I appreciate the fact that people actually do look at our proposals and raise issues with them. And I know that Mr. Young, who's here in particular, has not been too shy about that, but we do appreciate it. It improves the process. So no action is needed on that. Move ahead to item number 6.
Thank you. We have two rules that have been through the public comment process. I am not aware that we have received any comment on our proposed change to R8611A20. This is a proposal that changes some statutory citations that came about because of repealed statutes and newly enacted statutes. And so this is just correcting the rule so that it actually points the public to the correct laws. And as I say, we've received no public comment about it. I think I can do this with one motion, but I do need to tell you a little bit about R8824P33.
Okay, before we go to that, I do have a question about this, and I think it's maybe more for Ms. Solarzik. We still have a proposed legislation, don't we, that's resolving a statutory conflict in some of these, is it the time that payment is due after a decision?
This is Lynn Solarsik. I believe you're talking about the 30 and the 45-day issue. That's
yes.
still out there, and that has been approved by the interim committee in last week.
Okay, so that but so this is not.
But I don't believe this uses the 45 days. No, because that will clarify that we're going with the 30-day period for response for paying amounts required by a judge, a judicial decision in the courts.
Okay, but this rule, if this rule is adopted and that statutory change is not adopted, will this rule be in conflict with
It might very well
statute?
Be. It might very well be. I haven't looked at it in that view, though. But this is, you know, petition for redetermination of a deficiency. And that was only dealing, that bill is only dealing with cases where there's been an actual judicial decision in a court and when the penalty will apply. So the penalty will apply 30 days instead of potentially 45 days if you haven't made a payment after a court decision within that time frame. So this is just dealing with times within which they can appeal to the commission.
Okay, so if I
not for
can
purposes.
Put some words in your mouth, then
go ahead.
This action is appropriate and should be taken regardless of whether or not
yeah.
the other legislation
yeah,
passes.
Yeah, because as I've talked through it, that's really a determination of when the penalty starts to run, and this is when you when your time is to actually appeal something to the commission. Okay.
Thank you.
We also have before us a proposed change to R8-8424P33. These are the personal property valuation guides and schedules. And this is an annual update that we make to the rules, and we try to have these in place as close to December as we can so that the county assessors can prepare themselves to handle personal property tax return filings next spring. We did not receive any comment during the 30-day public comment period, but I understand that an attorney from Crapo Smith did contact our executive assistant and give some input on this rule. I don't see any representatives from that firm here, but I did want to disclose to you that we had contact. I also hasten to add that the issue that they raised is actually an issue that is pending before us upon appeal. And so I don't know that we want to talk about it in this setting, talk about who their client is that they're representing or what the issue is. But I have had discussions with the property tax division, and they've explained to me that the issue has nothing to do with us adopting these valuation guides and schedules today. The issue has more to do with their classification guidelines, and we could deal with that even if we adopt this rule today. We could deal with it either through the appeals process, or we could deal with it at our next public meeting and take input from all interested parties and consider whether or not we ought to recommend or even direct that the division make a change in their classification guidelines. So with that relatively cryptic description, what questions can I answer about the public comment on this rule?
I think you are pretty clear, but when you say classification guidelines, we're saying a certain type of property, it may be disputed whether a certain item of property belongs under a certain class, not whether appreciation schedules are appropriate.
That's exactly right. It has.
I think you were pretty clear on it. I just want to make sure. Thanks.
Yep.
I suppose conceivably we could, as a result of the pending litigation, want to change or clarify some of the examples that are listed under particular classes?
We could do that, and the examples that are listed in the rule are, the lists are relatively short, but they're not all inclusive. And the division has published, Herb, maybe you could hand out the examples, the samples you brought with us. The division publishes this personal property classification guide that's far more comprehensive, has a lot more suggestions on it, and it would be this guide that would be changed either as a result of a public hearing process or, in fact, it doesn't even have to be that. We might even be able to resolve it in a private meeting with less than a quorum of the commission present. But as I say, it is an issue that is pending before us in an appeal, and so I hesitate for us to say more than we already have.
And in any event, we've got taxpayers throughout the state who have property in all 28 classes who need updated guidance. So it's, I think, important that we move ahead at this point on all of those.
With the rule, you mean?
With the rule.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I agree. The way you've described it, anything before us in the appeal wouldn't affect the rule whatsoever. And whatever we decided would have priority or precedence over the classification guide, since it isn't a rule. So I don't see any reason not to go ahead with the rule either.
I agree with what you described. That's my understanding. I think that I probably need to say that I have only had a conversation with the property tax division. I have not talked with the other party. As I think about it, it's probably an ex parte communication, but.
Well, the other party's is it a centrally assessed tax?
Yes.
I guess it is.
No, it's not. Oh, no, because it's personal property tax we're talking personal about, property.
You haven't talked to either party.
Oh, that's a good point. I've only talked to the division. Okay, I'm feeling so much better now. Thank you.
We actually are a party because it was based on an audit that we did that's being appealed.
So you're an agent of the party to the appeal.
Yes.
Okay. Let's not talk about any more about the appeal.
I would just note that I suspect that this is an incredible amount of work to compile the information that's necessary to adjust these schedules every year. And we appreciate the Property Tax Division and Herb for all the work they do on this. Further questions or comments? Ready for a motion?
I would move that we approve R861-1A20, the amendments to R861-1A20 and the amendments to R884-24P33.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, if Joe Biden were here, he'd probably be asking for equal time. But we'll go to Mr. Conover instead.
Gosh. But I don't have the teeth that he has, so anyway, it's good to be here with you folks, commissioners, and the folks here in the audience. I just have a couple of things I just want to bring to the attention of the commission. First of all, as you came out of the elevators this morning or the last few days and you've looked down the hallway to the Hall of Patriots, it's a wonderful thing that started last year with a recommendation coming from Commissioner Dixon, and it's been surprising to see how many employees have added more to the Hall of Patriots. And Karen Lingard, I want to thank Karen Lingard and Charlie and others who have worked hard to put them up and make them look straight. They asked me to help them line them up the other day, and I said, no, up on the left, down on the right, down on the right. I finally left because I was cockeyed and I couldn't help them out, but it looks really, really nice. And I've had some opportunities to talk with some of the employees who have family members on that wall, and to see the love and the pride and the family feelings is just phenomenal. So I think it's a great thing that we've done as an agency, and I hope it'll continue on to be a traditional thing. I also want to let the commission know that within the next probably month or so, we'll be painting the whole building, interior paint. The contract has been awarded, and the painters will be coming in. We'll have to, I've asked Jeff Bowden and Tom and Tiffany to go through all of the floors, make sure that we can pull workstations out of way from the walls. That would mean that everybody that has a private office will have to take things down off the walls, and we need to slide things out so they can be painted. We'll have assistance to do that. We're hiring some seasonal people to assist us in that, so we have to stay in front of the painters. But it'll probably be a multiple week. It will definitely be a multiple week experience for us. But after 18 years, I think it'll be a good thing for the employees and for the tax commission. That color on that back wall will be the primary color going throughout the building, with accent colors different on each floor.
Now, I think Mr. Jenkins has one of the access or the accent colors. It's the cover of the personal property schedule he's got there. Would you hold that up for the commissioners so they can see that?
In your hand, the color.
Yeah. That nice, tasteful.
And which floor is that?
Shocking pink.
That's got to be on the third floor.
Okay.
All those auditors and property tax people, it's got to be that color.
That's one of the demands of the property tax division.
My little group.
For those of us who prefer more contemporary design or colors, are we allowed to put in requests?
You can actually bring in some taggers and put that on the wall. You know,
cool.
That would be, yeah, it's not going to be Battleship gray or blue. We want to bring some light into the building.
I prefer mauve and tangerine.
Well, we'll see what we can do, Commissioner. We can do that. Also, building access, it's been, we've tightened it down for about the last 3 weeks. We had a situation with Commissioner Johnson the other day that he couldn't get out of the building, and I think there were several others who couldn't get out of the building, and I do have an answer for that. The commissioners do have 24/7, but with the big windstorm that we had, it blew a pressure sensor inside the building, and so the building had less pressure, and so we couldn't push it out. And until you put your shoulder to the door, you know, you got out.
I'm not going to admit that I tried that.
So anyway, that was the problem. We got it fixed.
Just to clarify, that was Commissioner Johnson, the frail, that couldn't get out of the building.
Yes. And we will also be putting the motion detector infrared on the employee entrance doors, so that we'll have more than just one way to get out of the building if they're here later. That'll be working. Actually, it should be installed in the next 2 weeks. I also want to let you know that come November 13th, you all received emails that Google Apps is coming on live. And there's 18,000 employees that will be brought up on that particular day. And it's going to be a frustrating experience, I'm sure. And DTS is going to try to keep as much available staff in the different locations. But our super users, or our Google people that have been trained in the past, that have the little black flag, they need to really, and within the divisions, they really need to do a refresher, because they're the people that are going to be asked. And they're going to be the ones that will have to assist in that regard most of the time. I I have it. I was brought up last Monday, and it's been an experience. Lost everything, regained more than I got, and it's been a learning experience. So just let you know that what we're doing in the agency is that day, November 13th, is a day that we have canceled all meetings. We're going to let the employees, of course, they have to deal with the public and respond to the public requests, but they're going to have to figure out how to use Google on the 13th of November. So we're trying to free up the time for the employees to do that.
It's not a Friday, is it?
No, it's a Tuesday.
Yeah. It's Friday the 13th, seems like it would be appropriate.
Well, it's also interim day, I believe.
Yes. That's the next day.
That's the next day. Well, then, what were they saying? Oh, is Mark Van Orden so upset about? He did choose a good day then. He thought he'd chosen interim day.
It may be because it's the day after a holiday.
It weekend. Could be. And that's why they did it, is have that extra day for them to convert, make sure all the data is converted from group-wise. So anyway, those are the activities that are associated with the administrative side of the agency.
Gary, I have a question on that, on Google. If you know, I recall receiving a transition email that said we were supposed to continue using GroupWise until we went to Google. And I've been receiving emails that were sent on Google that don't go through to GroupWise. So is there any kind of protocol there? Or are we supposed to use both, one or the other? Or does it make any difference?
Once you're converted to Google, you'll need to use Google.
Okay, so starting yesterday,
yeah.
Google.
Okay. It came up.
Did I misread that email? I haven't checked it yet.
Yeah, but you'll have both. You'll have both GroupWise and Google,
that.
But you can still.
If somebody sends something on Google, it doesn't always show up on GroupWise.
That's correct.
My question is, did I misread that memo that said you're supposed to continue using GroupWise until the entire system is converted to?
No, once you're converted to Google, you should be using Google.
All right. And stop using GroupWise.
Yeah, stop using GroupWise, because you'll send emails out on GroupWise that won't be received.
Okay, thanks.
And there is some confusion. Did you folks have any technicians come in today?
Last couple of days.
Okay. Yeah.
I have misread that.
I have a whole new set of labels that was populated on my PC, my desktop this morning. I don't know where it came from, so we're checking that out. Anyway, I think it'll be a great experience. It'll be good. It'll be frustrating, but that's where we need to be. Thank you.
So if I send out an important email that I don't want anybody to read, I can just send it out on GroupWise.
And just sit there in
Google,
the zone.
I can yeah. rest assured they won't.
But somebody will probably pick it up.
They'd be helpful.
It'll be hacked. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Conover? Okay, thank you, Barry. Go to the commissioner's reports.
Can I have a
no, okay. You missed your chance.
He's okay.
Please go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that the luncheon today for employee recognition, we have 10, 20, and 30 your people that'll be there, and there's about 28 of them. And I just wanted to remind you folks and of that. Appreciate Commissioner Craig and tack me on the shoulder to mention that. Thank you.
We're actually going to advert to that in my report a little bit. I had the occasion to attend the WSADA conference, which is the Western States Association of Tax Administrators. The last meetings for the last 2 years were scheduled in Hawaii. In spite of Kurt Kawafuchi's extensive efforts to keep that real reasonably cost and priced, with the economic downturn and the political ramifications of going to Hawaii, those meetings did not occur. So California agreed to have the meeting this year. Hawaii will be hosting it next year, but they will be hosting it in Salt Lake. for some reason, Salt Lake doesn't seem to have the same the same problem that Hawaii has. But it was a good conference. Charlie Roberts and Krista Johnson went with me so they could observe the arrangements and the physical setup and the procedures that needed to be followed in hosting a successful conference, and I think that was beneficial. So we will be in Salt Lake on October 6th through 9th next year. Elizabeth Harchenko, the former head of the Oregon Department of Revenue, provided a report to the Executive Committee of WSSADA, kind of a strategic planning report suggesting some things that we could do and some directions we might go in that would make the organization more beneficial to its members, and I'll be providing copies of that to the commissioners. There was a lot of discussion about information sharing. The Southeast Association of Tax Administrators has a very aggressive information sharing program that they get a lot of benefit from. I think we need to see if there's more that we can or should be doing at the Western states to benefit from the audit activities of some of our sister states. One of the things that became apparent to me as I was trying to, you know, go to various sessions, is that it's difficult to have the right people at those sessions. It would be nice if we had the budget to send taxpayer services to some of those sessions that involved collection activities and what other states were doing. It would be nice if we had the resources to send auditing to, you know, the session on auditing convenience stores and some of those things. And it's just not going to happen. None of the states have that kind of budget. When the program is in your own state, you can get your people there, but to send, you know, 6 or 10 people to California is probably just not going to happen in the foreseeable future. So one of the things that we talked about was increasing the use of committees. There's a committee on centrally assessed property that's been very active, and although it operates under WSSADA, it kind of almost operates a little bit independently in that they schedule their own meetings, they have a lot of teleconferences, distribute a lot of materials electronically, and you have people at the right levels in the various agencies dealing with one another. And one of the things we talked about was whether it would be appropriate to try to follow that kind of a model in some of the other activities. So that's something that I think is worth looking at. Montana shared with us an agreement that they had entered into with Idaho. It's kind of interesting. Each state agrees to back the other one up in terms of return processing, remittance processing, and things like that if there is a natural disaster or an unnatural disaster in either of those states. So they would make facilities available. The state that had lost its facilities would send some of its personnel down to the other state. But that's it just reminded me that we always need to figure out what our backup is and to make sure that we're appropriately covered on backup if our systems go down. I understand that we are, but that might be something that you could report on, Barry, at some future meeting. Just
absolutely.
Just so we all know what our emergency plans are.
Absolutely.
Because it's too late to start planning for those things after the event. There was also a panel of commissioners, and it was interesting to me how uniform the concerns were. And probably the major concern was employee retention and succession planning. Every agency is facing the situation that I think we're facing, where we have some very, very good senior people who could retire tomorrow if they wanted to. They've got sufficient time in. And, you know, it's a question of succession planning. Who's being groomed for leadership? Who's capable of stepping into those roles? Part of that, of course, is how do you attract and retain good employees? All of the states, virtually all of the states, said we used to have low compensation and good benefits, so we would, you know, we'd trade on the benefits, and now we have low compensation and similar benefits to private industry, so it's very difficult to retain people. They talked about flexible schedules and telecommuting as additional benefits that we could offer, kind of cross-training to help with train people for potential leadership roles. But one of the comments that was made was very interesting to me. The fellow in California said, well, the average employee who's starting out a career now, not necessarily at the Franchise Tax Board or the State Board of Equalization, but just the average employee starting an industry is expected to have 15 job switches in the course of the career. And we're no longer in an economy where somebody goes to work for IBM or Xerox or General Motors and stays there for 30 years. And we may be seeing that as well in the state, where you know, a typical career pattern will be you're someplace for 3 or 4 years, you go someplace else for 3 or 4 years. That has, if that is in fact the future model, it has interesting ramifications for how you train and develop leaders. So that's probably something we ought to be giving some thought to. Another comment that I thought was very interesting was involved outreach. You know, we talk a lot about taxpayer education, and the point was made that taxpayers don't want education. They don't want to learn about the tax system. They don't want to know how the sales tax works. They don't want to know how the income tax works. What they want is answers to their questions. And so I think that's something that's worth keeping in mind. If we have a seminar or an outreach program or in designing our website, we need to keep in mind that people don't want to spend a half a day learning about the tax system. They want to spend an hour getting answers to their questions that will tell them what they have to do in the most painless possible way. And I thought that was a very valuable insight. So that may be something that we can keep in mind as we design our outreach programs. I think the self-audit system that the auditing division is a good example of that. It's not a general, I mean, it's education, but it's also, this is your business. These are the kinds of purchases you can be expected to have. This is how you treat them. So I think that kind of targeted education is probably, you know, consistent with this. Let's just give taxpayers answers, solve their problems, rather than try to educate them broadly and turn them all into tax professionals. Heaven knows we have enough tax professionals out there already. And the other thing that was very interesting was some of the reports on compliance. Chairman Horton of the State Board of Equalization is undertaking a very aggressive program with the legislature there to to try to tap the underground economy. I think as we found in our motor vehicle enforcement division, when you're looking at titling motor vehicles, you end up finding a lot of other things, like in the chop shops, and they tend to be drug distribution places and all sorts of other things, and they're finding similar things in California, that that a lot of the underground businesses are also essentially using slave labor. They're bringing in undocumented aliens, you know, their centers for drug distribution and everything else. So it will be interesting to watch those activities, and we need to probably consider if we're doing enough in that area. And then one of the other things, just a little sideline, but on auditing convenience stores, a lot of the, at least a couple of the states, Texas, I think, primarily, reported a lot of success in auditing convenience stores in getting more supplier reports. And I think they had to, I think they had to do that by statute. But if you get a distributor to tell you how much beer they're delivering to a particular convenience store, it's much harder for that convenience store to underreport their sales tax. So if you've got supplier level reports on tobacco, cigarettes, of course, in those states, you also had liquor. That provides an excellent auditing tool. So that was just, those were the primary interest, primary areas of interest. They have breakout sessions. I could only obviously go to one session at a time. But it was a very valuable conference, and I think we need to look at ways we can leverage our attendance at organizations like that.
Mr. Chairman, Barry Conover here. That was very helpful for you to share those items of information. It's kind of interesting because as we have been looking more deeply at our offsite operations and disaster recovery and those types of things through the Deloitte and Touche audit, it has become an enterprise issue. And so looking at Montana, Idaho, very interesting to see how that data would be supported on the other side of in a different state. We'd definitely be looking at that type of activity. You know, and as far as answers and questions, you know, that is definitely the future. I think our Taxpayer Service Division in TRU and other places probably answer about 500,000 phone calls a year. And then you add the motor vehicle on top of that, and that's probably another 500,000. So we're getting about 1 million telephone calls a year into this agency. Plus, our webmaster information is just exploding as well. And you're absolutely right. And I think those topics would be well served. If you would give me a copy of that, I would like to take that, your outline there, and kind of build a little response, not to you, but to our agency, and get back with the commission like you asked earlier. What are some of the things that we're doing as far as our COOP plan and other types of things? That would be very helpful. And that's very good information. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. I'll be happy to do that. One of my, you know, I do go to a lot of these conferences, and we don't always do a good job of sharing the information when we send somebody to a conference and having those people share the information with the people that are unable to attend. And so at least I made a better attempt this time.
Thank you.
Other reports from the commissioners? Anyone have any?
I have just
Commissioner Cragen.
Just mention that our regularly scheduled commission meeting in November would be November 8th, but the chairman and I will be unavailable that day. Usually we have a commission meeting on the fourth Thursday of any particular month, but that happens to be Thanksgiving, so we won't be having a meeting that day, at least a tax commission meeting. You're welcome to come have turkey if you'd like. at my house. But we will have a special commission meeting on Friday the 2nd, so that's a week from tomorrow. And that's the meeting where we have finally scheduled to have Mr. Jolly from the Property Tax Division come and share with us the presentation that he made to the county assessors at their workshop in June to help us understand how the privacy and confidentiality laws apply to the work that we do in property tax.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Seeing nothing, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Seeing none, we remain in session.
Works.
Move that we adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.